Welcome to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm Yvette Hampton, producer and host of the upcoming documentary Schoolhouse Rocked, The Homeschool Revolution. On this podcast, we bring you the very best from today's homeschool leaders to help you start strong and finish well. This podcast is for you. If you have a guest or topic suggestion, email us at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. Welcome to part two of my conversation with Connie Albers. If you missed part one, you'll definitely want to go back and listen. As Connie and I were talking, our conversation was going so well that I didn't want to cut it off and have you miss out as she shares her wisdom concerning the teen years. I hope you continue to be encouraged by the rest of our discussion.
We paid attention to the little things. Don't wait for the massive issues to happen. Just pay attention to the body language.
Yeah, I love that idea of having, you know, you being the house that your kids' friends come to. I remember we were at your house, I don't know, a few months ago, and we were sitting in your backyard, and you've got your big swimming pool back there. And I remember you just telling us, this is it. This is where our kids and all of their friends hung out. And, you know, you were like, there have been so many nights where, you know, they would come out here and just swim all night long. And I love that. And it was funny because I think it was shortly after that I was talking with Brooklyn because, you know, I mean, like they've had their little friends over and stuff, but the past 2 years we've been on the road. And so we haven't had a home for our kids to have their friends over. And so I told Brooklyn, I said, you know, honey, when we have a home again, which we will, you know, pretty soon here, when we have a house again, I want our house to be the hangout house. And her eyes lit up. Oh. I mean, now I don't know why she would ever think anything different. We've always had, you know, been very hospitable and we've always enjoyed having people, but she's now getting into those teen years. And so when we left California, she was 10, you know, and at 10 years old, it's more kind of a play date still type of atmosphere with, you know, moms and kids, but her eyes lit up so bright. And she was like, are you serious, Mom? My friends can come over. And I was like, well, of course it's your house too. And I said, I want your friends to come over. I want them to hang out at our house. And I want to know who they are. I want them to feel welcome all the time. I remember having a friend when I was in high school. Her name was Kim. And her mom was always the one who would have all the friends over. And she would make this big old pot of spaghetti. And we would just hang out. And they had a kind of little rec room with a pool table. And they had a swimming pool and stuff. And it was, and you don't even need that stuff. I'm not saying you need to have a rec room and a swimming pool to have your kids' friends over. But I remember always feeling very welcome. And then I had another friend who, her mom was not very friendly and welcoming. And I remember feeling very awkward at her house. And I enjoyed my friend, but I did not enjoy going to her house because it just didn't feel welcoming. And I think that's so important.
I mean, God talks to us about being hospitable, being given to hospitality.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
But you know, what you just said to me is we think our children know this stuff, but when we speak those words, we're breathing life into them. We're basically saying, hey, we know your friends are going to be an important part of your life. Mm-hmm. Our friends are, I mean, you and I are friends. And you still have your sister and you're super close with your sister. We're teaching them that friends are good. Some friends are going to come along and they will be a friend for life. Some are friends for a season. Could be your high school years or maybe a little longer. And we're validating there is a place for friends. There is a place. But your family, those are the people you're doing life with. So when I think about the question you asked, I paid attention. I said, I wrote down what we wanted when our children were older. And that was that they would want to go to the movie with us. And here's the fun part. I have to tell your listeners and even you guys, it's really cool when you have your adult children say, hey, we need to go on a family vacation, and they're willing to pay their part.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome. And it's no longer, okay, we'll go if you pay. No, that's even cooler when they're saying, we're taking our hard-earned money because we want to be with you. And, you know, we're getting ready for a wedding. And just, I told you earlier, our daughter, number four, and yeah, you do start numbering sometimes, not because they don't matter.
I only have two, so it's not necessary yet.
So our our fourth child is getting married in 12 weeks and all the kids are in the wedding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going to be a very small wedding, but it's going to be exactly what she wanted and very, very intimate. And, you know, I say that because when you open your home to hospitality, Tyler met his wife because we were having weekly Bible studies at our house. I mean, these kids came and went. I mean, sometimes they would come one time and sometimes it'd be for just a semester. And sometimes kids would stay for a year. Sometimes they'd drop out and come back. But that's how he met his wife. She started coming to our Bible studies. And when I say we did life with other families, that's how Paul met his wife. His wife played basketball with one of my daughters. And they didn't really notice each other at the time, but they knew of each other. And they kind of eyed each other. And as they grew up, they kind of reconnected when she was graduated. And that is how Jacqueline has also met her fiance.
Wow.
So it's just, there's like a whole host of opportunities that come from that. But more than anything, you get to magnify your influence. You get to help your children learn to minister to somebody who's struggling, a friend that's really struggling, friends that you won't know. I mean, I found out a friend's friend, her daughter was cutting and she was really struggling. And my kids knew about it. Some of them knew about it. And, you know, we had those conversations. I mean, those are not fun conversations to have, but because they knew, like I said in the beginning, there was an openness. They could be vulnerable because there was trust there. They shared with me in the strictest of confidence, and I was able to help them help her. So your influence not only is with your own kids, but then they trust you to give them advice so that they can help their friends. You know, these kids, sure, teenage years are really, really rough. I mean, we say that every generation, but it has escalated. With my kids, that's why I'm so passionate about it. We had some really rough times and I love it. I just think that we open the door, we are giving a cup of cold water, and we don't know who's coming through that threshold.
Yeah. And how wonderful that you get to be the one who's there at that front door, you know, just saying, "Hey, I'm here. Let's do this together." And giving them that security, you talked about, you know, kids need to be safe and they need to feel like they belong and they need identity. That's part of that safety, is kids need to know that they're safe in your home and not afraid to talk to you about, you know, anything that comes their way. And, you know, I remember, this is such a weird story, but several years ago, we bought a desk, just this really cute little white wooden desk. We bought it off of Craigslist, I think. And it was in Brooklyn's room. And when we were moving, we had to sell the desk. And so we were packing up the whole house. And I said, you know, honey, I need you to go take this box and go clean out the desk. Put everything that's in the drawers in the desk. So she goes and she cleans out the drawers. And underneath the paper, like the shelf paper, whoever had the desks previously to us, they had put shelf paper to line the inside of the drawer. So for whatever reason, she decided to, well, okay, she's my daughter who loves to pull everything apart. She's just like her daddy. She will tear the labels off of water bottles. She'll pull apart a pen just so she can put it back together. Like, she loves to just pull stuff apart and then put it back together. And so she doesn't destroy things. She does, but then she always...
would take them apart, but never get them back together.
Oh, yeah. No, she always gets it back together. It's so funny. But anyway, so she decided to pull out off the shelf paper out of this drawer. And underneath the shelf paper, it was the craziest thing. There were some very inappropriate photos, just, you know, 4x6 photos of a girl. And they were... apparently the girl who had owned the desk before us, I don't know, but they were of this teenage girl and they were unbelievably inappropriate. And she didn't, I mean, she was 10 when this happened and she almost felt guilty for it, but she didn't know. I mean, she wasn't looking for it. She just lifted up the shelf paper that the other person had put down. And she came to me and she was just like, "Mom, I don't know how to tell you this, but I found these photos," and she was terrified. And I said, "Honey, it's okay. you didn't do anything wrong. And let's talk about this. And then that got to lead into a beautiful discussion about identity. And so, you know, she felt safe enough to come to me, even though she was scared. And then we got to talk about how this poor girl did not understand her identity in Christ. And and I'm not thankful that she got to see those photos, but I'm thankful that we had the experience that she got to come to me with something that she wasn't afraid to come to me, but she was just afraid of the whole thing. It really shook her.
Yeah.
And
that speaks a lot to your relationship right there.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And we had a great conversation. Then we actually ended up praying for the girl. And yes, we need to pray for this girl, because if she still doesn't understand her identity in Christ, she needs Jesus. And so, you know, I hope that, you know, God gives us, and he does. I mean, he's always giving us opportunities to talk truth into the hearts of our children. And, but that goes back to what you said before too, about being intentional. We have to be intentional. Now, I could easily have said, oh, honey, don't worry about it. Go throw those away. And would have completely lost the opportunity to minister to her heart and to help her see who she is in Christ, and that, you know, she's safe in our family. She can come to us with anything.
Yeah. And there's a key there. It sounds to me like you didn't overreact.
Oh, no, no.
I mean, there are some times that
sure.
when they start hitting the teen years, when I start writing these stories, I was reading some of them to the kids because I wanted to make sure they were okay with some of the stories, and they didn't want to hear them. I'm like, no, we already know them, so just write. I'm like, no. I need you to do this. So I was reading them to the kids one night. They were all over for dinner, and I started reading, and they realized the stories I were telling about mom fails. And right. So after I got through the first one where I had shared how I royally messed up, they go, oh, tell us another one. But you know, the truth is, when we do, you know, we got to be really careful. I got to the point where there were two things I'd always do that were dead giveaways. Because it's really important. Our words are powerful. And the way we react, the way we react or the way we don't react sends signals and volumes to our kids. They know how to read us. And this is a true story. My kids could come in and they could tell, by the way, I was cutting carrots, if it was a good time to talk to me or not. You know, you would think I'm just cutting carrots. Oh, no. My right. kids would say, oh, no. I could tell when you were in a happy mood, the way you cut the carrots, when you were in a bad mood, and when you were mad at somebody. I'm like, okay. So, you know, when that does happen, I really encourage all, you know, all the listeners to be careful of their reaction, to think before we speak to our kids. I would get to the point where, so the other thing I told you, I would watch your reaction. The other is, you know, monitor your mouth. What are you saying? What comes mm-hmm. out? You know, God's word says that out of her mouth flows wisdom. And when you stop long enough to think, you kind of have a filter there and you think, is this good for my kids to hear me say, you know, bashing my husband or bashing another child? Mm-hmm. Is this really good? Am I creating the atmosphere, the environment? Am I modeling Christ-likeness, what God tells us to do in front of our kids? And when we blow it, let's just face it.
Yeah, because we will.
We've blown it. Yeah. My kids love those stories in the book. We ask for forgiveness. Yep. And you were saying, how did I get all the kids to where they really do respect each other? It's they love each other, but they respect each other. And that was because when a wrong was made, a reaction, somebody slapped somebody, and no, that wasn't okay. Just so that your listeners know, okay. Throwing toys at each other was not okay. Tattling the whole bit, but they would ask for forgiveness. And it wasn't a force to, you know, tell your sister you're sorry. It was settle down. Let's calm down. Let's get in the right frame of mind so you can identify what you actually did to hurt somebody.
Sure.
And then go back and ask for forgiveness. And it could have been me, and it may have been Tom. It may have been each of the children. And make sure our words are, you know, correcting, not criticizing. There's a very big difference between those two, because the truth is we've got to remain steady. Our kids need us to remain steady. It doesn't mean that, because that's why I wrote the book Beyond, you know, Parenting Beyond the Rules. It's a given. You have rules in your house. Otherwise, you'd have mayhem. But there's more than that. And your children need daily guidance. They need our steady hand at the helm. And we have to remember, we're the primary creator of our child's childhood memories. When we start thinking about that, then we start thinking, okay, how can we create defining moments? Because they're going to reflect on their childhood. How can we, when an incident happens, how can we frame that so that that has a powerful, memorable moment attached to it? That's not just negative, you know, like, right, all the time I got in trouble. But we talk about those. And when I say pay attention, that's the other element of paying attention, is look for defining moments within your family that shapes and frames the narrative going on. Like, you're making the movie. And so we've talked about this, the story arc. What stories are we telling? Well, those stories are crafted. And I encourage all families, you narrate the stories. Mm-hmm. You get to write the script.
Yep.
And you get to help your children reflect on those scripts. And those become the reservoir that they draw from. And those are the stories that they tell their adult children one day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to show them that, and I know you're not saying like we're in control of our own lives, but getting to show them, you know, we're on this earth for a purpose, and that's for God's purpose. And how is He authoring this story in our lives?
Yeah.
You know, he is the author of it all, and He has a purpose for each one of us. And so, you know, getting to point that out to our kids as they're growing up, like, look at what God is doing here. Do you know, I mean, we, in our situation right now with making the movie and traveling and all of that stuff, we have ample opportunity to point out to our kids, look at what God is doing. This is not anything that we could do on our own. This is not, you know, anything that we have the power over, but look at what God is doing. But because we're allowing Him to use us, and it doesn't mean it's easy, but you know, God's writing each one of their stories, just like He's writing. I feel like there's several books, you know, there's the story of each one of my girls' lives individually. And then there's the story of our family. And then there's the story of Garrett and I, and, you know, we've got all these different editions of the Hampton family, you know, journey. And it's very exciting. And just to see how God's weaving all of that together for His great glory. And, what a beautiful thing.
You're setting the moral compass, and we have to remember they're watching what we say and what we do, how we fret. If we fret, do we worry and do we whine, or are we full of anxiety, or are we truly like you and Garrett? You've been trusting God every step of the way to open the right doors and to get the right narrative for this story and all of that. And He's done that. And mm-hmm. your girls are watching this.
Oh, yeah.
And they're seeing, wow, great is Thy faithfulness.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You know, we didn't want our children to be religious. And I guess let me explain that. There's so many people who know of God. Mm-hmm. They know about Him. And then when their kids turn 18, it's like, thanks for the education on religion, but I'm going to pass.
Right.
We didn't want that. So we would always stress to the kids, it's not a religion. It's a relationship. Mm-hmm. And like you just talked about, everything we say and do has got to be pointing back to their Creator.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that goes to the whole crux of, what are the goals for your family? Every family has different, you know, goals and a different vision. I knew I wanted our children to have a real relationship with the Lord, that they wouldn't just go to church until they hit the college years and then, nah, I'm done, thanks. We wanted them to continue, wanted it to be a part of who they were. And they can't, you know, we can kind of hinder that and get in the way, or we can foster that by how we live and what we say and how we make it appealing, like a bunch of rules, or no, it's a relationship.
Yeah. Which is one of the reasons why homeschooling is so very powerful in raising your kids, because it gives you the chance to be able to do that with them. You know, you get to be the one who day in and day out gets to show them God in everything. I mean, we were talking about this with some friends, just this morning. I'm doing a book club right now, and we were discussing this very topic and just saying, you know, there are always opportunities every day. There are opportunities to point our kids to Jesus, whether it's driving in the car and, you know, we see a car accident and we just stop and pray, you know, for those people. And I don't mean stop the car, but well, if necessary, yeah. but you know, we stop talking and just pray over those people in the accident and praise God for the people who are there to help them. Those little things, you know, are as simple as, you know, driving down the street and saying, look at those amazing trees that God made. Look at that beautiful bird that God made. Whatever it is, there are always ways to point our kids to Jesus. And I am so grateful that the Lord has called us to homeschool, because it gives us more opportunities to do that instead of them having their hearts turned away from Christ and what it is that they're learning.
Yeah. I mean, and turned away from their family. I mean, honestly, if we don't have a relationship, we don't have influence. And we don't want to lose the influence, because somebody's going to influence your child. Will
absolutely.
It be you?
Yep.
Will it be you? And that's the cool part. That's why homeschooling is growing by double digits.
Yep.
It's going to continue to explode, because parents are seeing a difference and they're wanting to have more of an impact, I think. And that's what, you know, research shows,
sure.
But more than that, that's what families are desiring. They want closeness.
Yeah.
They want engagement. They want to make memories together, and they don't want them to be, you know, like crisis, from crisis to crisis. So it's really good. Like I said, it's fun being able to say, we turned the last tassel, all the kids went on to college. And the way God orchestrated that is they all ended up wanting to go to the same college.
Yeah. That cracks me up.
and they did. They all went to the same university, so they could have a shared experience.
Yeah. Oh.
And it's so funny, because when they were interviewed by the university, one of my daughters said, college was like an extension of home. And I'm thinking, praise you, Lord. Praise God that she saw what can be built when we pay attention and we're willing to do the work. And we're willing to invest in our family, because we see the magnitude of what we're able to do. We're shaping and influencing the next generation. And I keep telling my kids ever, you know, I don't have any grandbabies yet, but they're going to be my grandkids' mom and dad.
Yep, that's right.
And it's an exciting thing to see.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got, it was before Brooklyn was born. So I was, you know, just getting into this whole mommy thing and about to become a mommy for the first time. And a very wise friend of mine said, become the mom and the wife that you want your daughter to become. And that has always stuck with me. And I thought, you know, I want her to be a godly wife and a godly mom, because like you said, I mean, she's going to be the mom to my grandchildren. I want her to be an excellent mom to them. And I want her to be an excellent wife, and not that she's going to be perfect, but I don't want her to have to go through the pain of a divorce, you know, because she's being the rebellious wife, or, you know, struggle with her children, because, you know, I want to model for her as best as I can through the grace of God, the wife and the mom that I want her to eventually become. And so, you know, having two daughters, that's a high calling, and only by God's grace, you know, will we get through these years. Connie, thank you so, so very much. I've loved talking with you, and you are just such a blessing in my life. And I know in the lives of many, many people. Tell people where they can find you.
Well, you can find me at ConnieAlbers.com, and that is my blog. I also will be speaking. I'll have a list of speaking next year up on my site soon. I haven't got that fully out. But you can find me at Connie on Facebook at ConnieAlbers.author. That's my Facebook page.
Okay.
On Instagram, it's Connie Albers. And on Twitter, it's Connie L. Albers. So I'm pretty much all over on social, and I love connecting with folks. So if your listeners would love to join me. That would be awesome. Yep. And
we'll put links to those in the show notes as well. And then for our listeners, we have, Connie has offered a free ebook that you could download off of her website. It's called 5 Fears Every Mother of Teens Faces and How to Overcome Them. So thank you for offering that. I'm excited to read that. I didn't tell you this, but we had a historical event happen last night our family. So we dropped Brooklyn off at her first youth group meeting, and it was one of those weird, like surreal, like, oh, we're, 'cause you know, usually we do church things together as a family.
Yeah.
But we're attending this church right now where we are in Georgia for as long as we're here. And so they just got a new youth pastor and they had this big youth night last night. And so Garrett dropped her off and then we all went and picked her up. And I was like, do you know what this means? We have a junior hire. It's just so bizarre to me.
And I felt the rope slipping through my fingers.
Oh my goodness. But you know, it's this weird, like, I'm super excited about it. And at the same time, like, oh, my baby's growing up. And so I told her this morning, I said, I just need to have more babies because I can't stand that you're growing up and going to be out of our house and you know, too short of a time. But it's fun. I love the teen years. I have worked with teens for most of my marriage at church and, you know, with youth and stuff like that. I love working with teen girls. All the way from, you know, junior high to high school. I think they're so much fun. Give me the teens any day over the 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds, and they're cute too. But yeah, I love the teens. So it's exciting to be getting into these teen years. So I'm so grateful for your wisdom. But thank you so much again for being with me today. And
hey, I love you guys. I love what you're doing. I'm happy to be a part of it. And thanks for having me on the podcast.
All right. Thanks, friend. Love you.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. I hope you were encouraged by my conversation with Connie. Remember to sign up for Connie's newsletter at ConnieAlbers.com so you can receive her free ebook, 5 Fears Every Mother of Teens Faces and How to Overcome Them. For great homeschooling videos, articles, giveaways, and more, check out members.schoolhouserocked.com and use the coupon code PODCAST10 to save 10% on any paid Backstage Pass membership. Backstage Pass members get exclusive access to full interviews from the cast of Schoolhouse Rocked and so much more. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and leave a review. Until next time, I'm Yvette Hampton, wishing you the joys of community and the wisdom to teach and learn. God bless.